All right, well, we'll get started here in a little while. I'm just going to give you some time to get on here, but we're going to talk about Kanye again. I feel like I'm talking about him like a too much in some ways, but in other ways, I don't believe that's the case because, there's
Big brains.
this issue here that's not going anywhere. And it's that it's this transformation, this sort of invasion that's taken place here in the
Staring into
churches.
microscopes is what I thought
Let's
the
see
American.
this guy. Let me get this stupid advertisement off here. All right, here we go. Let's go with that one.
Still lies before me, and the wind is blowing strong. When the witnesses surround me, and my strength is almost gone. When the valley plunges deeper, and life shatters all my dreams, then I lift my voice to Jesus, and He gives my spirit wings. God gives wings. His wings to fly and strength to rise above. God gives wings as He goes. When my feet begin to stumble and my dreams begin to crumble, I mount up. Let us run the race with patience. Let us lay each weight aside, looking only unto Jesus. He will be our faithful guide. He has run the race before us. He has won the victor's crown. And He calls to every Christian, follow me to higher ground. God gives wings as He goes. God gives wings to fly and strength to rise above. God gives wings as He goes. When my feet begin to stumble and my dreams begin to crumble, I mount up on eagles. I mount up on eagles' wings. I mount up on eagles' wings.
All right, we'll get to this commercial. Here we go.
Without purpose or plan, when trying his servant and molding a man, give thanks to the Lord, though your testing seems long. In darkness he giveth a song.
He giveth a
song. Oh, rejoice in the Lord. Mistake. He knoweth the end of each path that I take. For when I am tried and purified, I shall come forth as gold. See through the shadows ahead, so I looked at the cross of my Savior instead. I bow to the will of the Master that day. Then peace came and tears fled away. And I trust in his care. Through purging, more fruit I will bear.
Oh, rejoice.
Oh, rejoice in the Lord. He makes no mistake. He knows with the end of each path that I take.
Amen. All right. Good song. And good afternoon to you all out there in YouTube land. And let's see, we've got 42 people on here so far. We'll get more on, I'm sure, as we go. And I hate to bring this up here again in... because I don't want to like overkill it or anything, but I don't think it is. I think it's an invasion of transformation that is taking place in churches today. And it's an invasion that has taken place, and we see it now more prevalent with this pop culture push. I used to call it pop culture Christianity. In fact, I think I have a sermon on it somewhere. Probably. Uh, Let's see. The Evolution of Pop Culture Christianity. I do have it. It's right here. All right. And that's the sermon that I preached on this years ago. Man, that was a long time ago. That's 2014. And we are dealing with an issue that is at the forefront. Now, we talked about Kanye. Don't get distracted by the Hebrew roots stuff. Authorized Mike, just take them off if they're talking Hebrew roots, keeping the Sabbath and all that kind of stuff. Just get them off there. I don't have time for it today. I don't want to waste time. I don't want to waste good time of teaching on people that want to argue and push their promotion of their pet heresies like the flat earth and the other things. You know, I don't want to get into it. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to even be on there. You know, it isn't worth my time to waste on it. I've already dealt with enough time in dealing with that subject, and you know, I'm not going to deal with that again. However, okay, so yeah, zero tolerance for the rooter tutors, man. I don't want to deal with it. I'm tired of it. It's almost as bad as flat earth, you know, and I'm gonna do my flat earth broadcast sometime soon in a NASA t-shirt. So if somebody out there wants to send me a NASA t-shirt, I don't have one yet. If you want to send me one, get me a double X, even though I wear like an extra large, but sometimes they fit like skinny little girl shirts and I don't like that. But if anybody has a NASA shirt and they want to send it to me, I'll wear that NASA shirt. If you send it to me, I'll wear the NASA shirt doing a broadcast about the flat earth. All right. Who's going to send me the shirt? All right. Somebody send me the shirt and I'll be wearing it. And I'll make sure I mention your name, that so-and-so sent me this NASA t-shirt to do this program with this NASA. If you want to send me a NASA hat, if you got one of those, somebody can send me one of those. I'll do it. We'll do it. It'll be funny. For me anyway. Might make everybody else mad. They're gonna be like, I knew it. He's part of the NASA cult. I knew it. Oh, that's funny. Oh, it's funny. Anyway. Anyway. I want a closet full of NASA gear. Oh, that'd be funny. No, seriously, there's a guy that listens to us, and this guy, I'm not kidding you, this guy showed up, and I'm sure he's a nice fella. I'm not even going to say his name, but he showed up, and he literally was the evangelist to the flat earth. I'm not kidding you. This man was covered head to toe with flat earth paraphernalia. I mean, he was covered with it. Andrew, I was thinking the same thing. Kanye's album and Pastor Hoggard's Phoenix video on the door, right? Right? The door that goes inside of a door inside of a door. Jim, if you send me Buzz Aldrin's spacesuit, I'm going to wear it, man. Look, if Buzz Lightyear wasn't Disney, I'd probably wear that outfit. But I hate Disney more than I do the flat earth. Apostleship. I don't hate flat earthers, okay? I don't. I don't. I just think it's goofy. All right. Now, moving right along. You know, I'm going to bring you some things from the Word of God today. And also from what's going on with this. The first topic, though, I really can't get around this. How is it that right after I did this broadcast, check this out. Right after I do the broadcast, here comes Dr. Dre. And they announce this big collaboration. And here it is. Let me show it to you. Just so you know, it's not fake. There it is right there. Look at it. This is Dr. Dre, the Chronic, Dr. Dre, right? Nothing but a G thing, California love, NWA, niggas with attitude, Dr. Dre. Right there. This is Dr. Dre. Ye and Dre, Jesus is King Part 2, coming soon. Now, I want you to think about this for a second. Yep, the Chronic. I remember it all, man. I sung it all, okay? I did, so I know. Yeah, Tupac didn't even want to work with Dre because he said that Dre was a queer. No, they called Jehovah. That was Jay-Z. He's Jehovah. Dr. Dre is Dre. I mean, Death Row Records. I know about all of it, all the split that Death Row Records had with Suge Knight and all the other stuff that went on. No, Carl, I disagree. I don't think Dre's trying to be relevant. Dre's worth $780 million. Dre is a producer, and Dre makes a ton of money. Dre makes more money than you will ever see in 1,000 of all of our lifetimes put together. No. Dre definitely is relevant still. Still relevant. Very wealthy. Very influential. Now remember what Kanye said at the end of the video. He said the devil done got all the producers. The devil done got all of it. That's right. Dre makes the beats. That's right. Dre makes the beats. Dre is pretty much the best at that, hands down. The best. Now, no, he's not the richest rapper out there. The richest rapper out there is P. Diddy. He's the richest, and also him and Jay-Z. Those two are the richest out there. Dre's like number three. Now, here's the point. Look at the look on his face. Look at this look, and then you have this here. I'm telling you, you're definitely dealing with like multiple personality type devil with devils mixed in here with all this stuff, because this does not look like the same guy that was on stage. This is not the same guy that was on stage with Joel Osteen. Right? It's that gangster look. It's that. And what did he say? He said, we're going to bring all the producers back. We're going to bring them all back to God. He's bringing Dre in, who is a big, stinking, sod devil. And he said he was going to bring them all in. And that's what he's doing. So he starts with the biggest name in rap music for producing and anything else, and it's Dre. Now, here's the thing. How does Dre making music? How does Dre making music on Jesus is King Part 2? How does that glorify God? How does that glorify God? You tell me. How does that glorify God in heaven for him to do that? It doesn't. But they don't care. Because that's not the point. What's the point? The point is that Kanye's album is 100% on the top list. Okay? So Dre wants in on that action. Dre wants to make money. And he sees what success Kanye's had with this. Now Kanye's had 10 times the success that Snoop Dogg has had with this. Snoop Dogg's gospel album done went out in the pasture and got buried under some dung somewhere. But Kanye's album has hit new heights. Right? Well, Dre is a legend. He is a legend at what he does. But I think Kanye has more devils. I think Kanye has more power. I think this is all about, it's all about money. It's all about power. What exactly is going on here, do you think? Here's the question you have to ask yourself. What exactly is going on here? Well, I'm going to show you what's going on here from the scriptures. And we're going to talk about the Lord's church. Okay? We're going to talk about what the Bible says about the church. Because here's what we have. I make no bones about it that we absolutely have transformers here. And they are transforming themselves, and not only themselves, but they are transforming the Lord's churches. They are transforming the Lord's churches. Heidi, that's exactly what's going on. It is moving in to a one-world church. Now, here's what the Bible says to us. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. Look, they're not transformed as ministers of into ministers of righteousness, right? Look what it says here. Also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness. How was that done? It's not done by them being open atheists and coming forward and saying, hey, I'm an open atheist. I don't believe in God. I don't believe in anything else, but I want to sing Christian music. No, that didn't go very well with Snoop Dogg. That didn't go very well with the other ones. How does it work? Here's how it works. That word creep is in the Bible seven times. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 6. They creep in. This know also, in the last days, perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves. Covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers. Disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Now, James tells us in Jude 1, for there are certain men. Look what the Bible says about the gospel. It says, beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. What are they trying to do? Transform the faith. They're trying to transform it into something else. They're systematically transforming a Christ into the ministers of Christ, and they're rising up. That's what they're doing. When I gave all diligence to write unto you the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Listen. Jesus Christ does not change. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, forever. Jesus is the same. All may change, but Jesus never. Glory to his name. Now, it says here, for there are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation. Ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. I will therefore put you in remembrance so you once knew this, so that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. Listen, here's what you have to understand about these transformers. They don't have a problem giving you enough information to deceive the masses. They don't have a problem with that. They have all... Look, Kanye West is a genius. You don't think Kanye West understands about dipping into evangelical money? Yeah, I think he's spreading more seeds of discord and more seeds of deception. Listen to me. I used to listen to rap music. I smoked pounds of pot. You're never going to convince me that these guys are saved. Now, the Bible said, look, listen to me. I want you to understand something. If there was not an element of truth to it, it would not work. The deception would not work. If it wasn't for his deception... Do you think Satan comes up and says, I am Satan, fall down and worship me, Christian? Of course he's not going to do that. That's not how the devil works. Where is he the most dangerous? Well, let's go back to it. Here it is. Where is Satan in his most dangerous form ever? When he is offering you gnosis or light. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness. If he came up and preached totally, if he preached Gnostic teachings, people would be like, nah. But if he slips Gnosticism in, right? If you add Gnosticism in with it, then it'll work. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed. So what are they trying to transform? Fundamentally change churches and the biblical viewpoint of Christ. That's what they're doing. That is exactly what they're doing. They are trying to change who Christ is. They want Christ to be acceptable. Well, in all actuality, that's not what Kanye wants. I believe that Kanye thinks he's God. I think Kanye thinks he's Christ. You know, I really believe that Kanye knows exactly what he's doing. Like, I don't think Kanye's confused about what he's doing. I think he knows exactly what he's doing. I think Kanye knows exactly what he's doing, okay? Kanye is well able to figure out. I mean, he's got devils in him, but he knows what he's doing. He's causing this division on purpose. Now, you have people that are going to side with him, and they got so excited and almost wet their pants when they found out Kanye's a Christian. Well, how do you know he's a Christian? Well, he said he was. Well, where's the proof of it? You know, it's interesting to me. Let's see here. Let me get to it here. Let's see. Let's see if I can find it. Here it is. I think it's this one right here. And a certain, let's go there, Luke chapter 18, verse number 18. And a certain ruler asked him, saying, "Good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said to him, "Why callest thou me good? None is good save one, that is God. So are you calling me God?" You get the catch how Jesus talks. Okay? "Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, honor thy father and mother, and thy mother." And he said, "All these have I kept from my youth up." Now when Jesus heard these things, he said to him, "Yet lackest thou one thing." Why? Because Jesus knows the hearts of all people, all men. "Yet thou sell all that thou hast and distribute unto the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me." Come follow me. And when he heard this, he was very sorrowful, for he was very rich. And when Jesus saw that he was very sorrowful, he said, how hardly shall they that have riches enter the kingdom of God? For it is easier for a camel to go through a needle's eye than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. And they that heard it said, who then can be saved? And he said, these things which are impossible with men are possible with God. What happened here? Here's what happened. This rich man came to Jesus with self-righteousness, and Jesus knew that his heart was not right. Jesus knew that his heart was not, he had never repented and put his faith in him. He had never turned to him, but he was stuck on covetousness. He was stuck on money. And did Jesus really want him to get rid of all of his money? I don't believe so. I think he wanted him to get rid of his pride. Right? He wanted him to get rid of his pride, his covetousness, and his heart that was proud. Jesus, knowing all things, said that to him because he knew his heart. Jesus knew exactly what that young man wanted. Okay? That young man, he wanted to hold on to his money and hold on to Christ, but the money was keeping him from it. Now, look what Jesus was doing with him. Now I want you to compare that to Kanye. How is Kanye giving up all the profits and stop selling all of his old records? How about Zacchaeus? Zacchaeus was a wee little man. A wee little man was he. He climbed up in the sycamore tree for the Lord he wanted to see. And as the Savior passed that way, he looked up in the tree and said, Zacchaeus, you come down, for I'm going to your house today. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. So think about this. Kanye isn't giving up all the riches that he made. I'm not saying he has to be saved. The point is, the pattern of these men in the Bible that had this money and these things and the ill-gotten gain, or the gain off of wickedness and worldliness and everything else, they gave up. He didn't say, God just has the greatest superstar ever now, or God just has the greatest, musical creator ever. The whole point of Jesus saying that to him was that the law was the schoolmaster to bring him to Christ. The law was showing him that he was not righteous, that he was actually dirty and filthy, and he could not obey the law. He needed Christ. That's what Jesus was doing. He was breaking him. He wasn't showing him that he could keep the law to be saved. He was showing him that he couldn't keep the law. So, if you notice here, this is what's happening. Zacchaeus stood and said to him, Lord, behold, the half of my goods. So he's saying, you know what? I'm going to give it away. I don't care about it. But now he's making a ton of money. Brandon Reynolds, I'm going to tell you something right now. Kanye West, he may not say he's God. He thinks he is, though. By the way, he has said it before. So, that's just the truth of the matter. He has said it before. But see, everybody has a vested interest in making sure that Kanye is real, because they want to listen to his music. They want to follow him in the ways that he goes. They like the pop culture. They like the popularity of it all. And they're dying for somebody that's a movie star, somebody that's a sports figure, somebody that they're dying for them. You know what he said? You know what Kanye said about Dre? Let's see if I can find it here. Let's see. Kanye West and Dr. Dre have announced they are working on a sequel to West's latest album, Jesus is King, Part 2. The hip-hop titans shared the news on social media with a picture of themselves posing in front. Posing in front of a recording desk, saying only that the project would be coming soon. At this stage, it is not known what exactly the pair are working on. Given their monumental music impact, it can be assumed that it will be a sequel album to West's gospel-inspired Jesus is King, released last month. Both West and Dre have worked with other huge names in hip-hop, including Jay-Z and Nas, but have not together so closely before. Ye has made his admiration clear for Dr. Dre in past. In 2010, article he called him overwhelmed. He was when he met the California rapper producer. I first met Dre in December 2003. He asked me to produce a track for the game, West said. At first, I was starstruck. Within 30 minutes, I was begging him to mix my next album. He's the definition of a true talent. Dre feels like God placed him there. Listen to this. Look at this. I want you to pay attention to this. Hey, you, Brandon Reynolds, pay attention to this. Pay attention to it closely. At first, I was starstruck. Within 30 minutes, he said, okay. He's the definition of true talent. Look at this. He says, Dre feels like God placed him here to make music, and no matter what forces are aligned against him, he always ends up on the mountaintop. Do you see this? So God sent Dre to make a Ain't Nothing But a G thing? God sent Dre to make the Chronic? Really? God sent them to do that? Do you believe that? Do you believe that God sent Dre and no matter what, he's always been on the mountaintop? He always ends up on the mountaintop. That God placed him here to make music. Right? So you believe that? Do any of you believe that out there, that God sent Dre to make this music? Do you understand how absolutely dangerous that is to even talk like that? But look at the merger. Look at this merger. Now check it out. So now you have the prosperity gospel. Now you have the prosperity gospel that is in full swing. You now have the popularity of the prosperity gospel. He just brought a ton more people into it. And validated. They validate. See this whole scheme with Joel Osteen and Kanye West? You know what that was? That was to validate each other. That's what they did. That's what they did. And you're going to see this, that people have to absolutely compromise to accept. By the way, Kanye said very clearly that this was his church. Kanye said very clearly that that was his church. And the fact that he's working with Joe Osteen and Dre. Who in their right mind thinks this is biblical? How about this? But I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils and not to God. And I would not that you should have fellowship with devils. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. You cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and of the table of devils. Very clearly, the Bible says that the two cannot be mixed. But right now, what we have is a mixture of these two together of light and darkness. But now, what do we have? We've got doctrines of devils. The Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Now, Matthew 24. Matthew 24 warns us. Brandon Reynolds asks a good question. While your turn to Matthew 24, I'll answer it. LOL, we all forget about being born again. He has changed. I've been watching. I never liked him before. I'm sorry, Brandon. You don't get to be the judge. Scripture gets to be the judge of what's biblical and what's not. You're trying to tell me that this guy that's preaching enlightenment principles, that's bringing the world into the church and changing churches before, just because he makes a profession of faith, we're supposed to believe that, but his life is not changing. In that sense, he's transforming. I absolutely believe in the power of God to change. I also met a bunch of devils in my life, and I know exactly how they are. So how many Christians do you know want to go call up Dr. Dre and be like, yo, Dre, I want to make an album about Jesus with you? He says, man, I wanna make an album with you about Jesus. I mean, really? Why would a born-again Christian, saved by the grace of God, what spirit do you have? Here's what the Bible says. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, in so much that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Look at that. They shall deceive the very elect. Behold, I have told you before, wherefore if they shall say unto you, behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chambers, believe it not. For as lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. For false Christs and false prophets shall rise and show signs and wonders to seduce. Do you get it? To seduce. What's the point? Why would he do this? Well, so far he's made 12 top number one hits off of Christians. How much money do you think he's made off all that? What's the point? To seduce. That's where the false prophets come from. That's their point. That's their motivation, to seduce the servants of the Lord. It's what they do. You know, if this is a church of the living God, like he says, it's our church. Yeah, it is your church. It's not the Lord's church. Look, there's a spirit behind all this. Look at this. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse number 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse number 12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judge of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. So there's a spirit. There's a spirit. What spirit is it of? Let me ask you. What spirit is this of? Think about that. What spirit? Here's another one for you. I've written unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I've written unto you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father. But is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Now, so he's telling you, he's identifying you. Listen, pay attention, please. Get me in the wide shot. Here we go. Listen to me, pay attention. He's showing you the difference in a man that has the spirit of the world in him versus the spirit of Christ. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away in the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Well, what is that spirit of the world? I'll show you what it is. It's right here. 2 Corinthians 4:4. Here it is right here. But if our gospel be hid, it be hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. So look very closely. Here's the spirit that they have. They have the spirit of the world. What is the spirit of the world? The god of this world, Satan, who offers them light. Satan, who offers them gnosis. Satan, who offers them fame and fortune. Look. Oh, I know which one. I don't have to look there. I know which one it is. Look at the spirit. Then was Jesus led up of the spirit. Let's look at the scriptures here. Matthew 4, then was Jesus led up of the spirit of the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. What was the temptation? The spirit of this world. I'll give you this world. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life. And when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, but he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city and set them on a pinnacle of the temple and saith unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Jesus said unto him, it is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Again, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain. Look at this. Here it is. And showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. And saith unto him, all these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then saith Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan. For it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. Okay, so what do we have? We have the God of this world. We have the spirit of this world. We have the love of this world. Do you see that? All of that, all of those things are examples of what we're dealing with here. All of them are. That's the spirit. Somebody else quoted this on the thread, and it's a good one here. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Okay? Do you think the scripture saith in vain, the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? But he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. God's been drawing me and calling me for a long time, he says. And God's going to use all my arrogancy and pride. Think about that. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he'll draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Now, there's nothing humble about what took place. There's nothing humble about this. See, they leave it all in question, which is funny. Because they leave it all in question here. Well, is he pointing to Jesus? Is he pointing to Kanye? Is he pointing to... Well, what's he pointing to? Confusion. So there's a spirit. There's a spirit with all this. It's the spirit of the world. And Jesus said you can identify it by where its love is. By the way, let's go back there. I wasn't quite done yet with that. I got excited, so I kept going. Here, let's see. First John 2:15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away in the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Now, I want you to stop here for a second. And I want you to think about this, because here really lies the next warning. Here lies the next warning for you and I to understand. What does he say right after he warns us about that spirit, about loving the world, about all those things? Then he says, little children, it is the last time. And as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. So look what he's saying here. He's saying these people, there are antichrists that are going to rise. And you can identify it by the spirit that it has. It says here that we would know them by their fruits. You know, we would know them by who they are and what they are. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out, they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. Now, so that deals with love. That deals with our loving the world. It deals with the spirit that's behind this. Right? I don't think there should be too many questions about that. I mean, that should be pretty self-explanatory, that the people that he's yoking up with are a bunch of devils. Right? Now, here's another thing that I've noticed about this topic. It's not just Kanye West either. There's more to it than this that's coming down the pike here that we're seeing. And I think it's going to grow in that. I think we're going to see more of it as time goes by. But I want to show you an article. We're talking about transformation. And I want to show you an article that is dealing with churches. And let me see if I can find it here. Give me a second. Not there. Let's see. Let's see. Here it is, right here. This is what I'm talking about. I'm going to show you here in a second. This is what I'm talking about when I talk about the movement of transforming churches, transforming what church is. See, transforming what churches really are. And that's what they're doing, okay? The devil is going to give people exactly what they want, the delusion that they want. Look, in these end times, God told us about this strong delusion. Okay? Strong delusion. 2 Thessalonians 2:11. We've reviewed this, talked about this. I've preached on these verses so many times. Let me see here if I can get there. We go. And for this cause, oh, let's back up here. When the Antichrist comes on the scene, and now, but, oh, let me go one other place. Before I get started there. Little children, is the last time. As you have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. So, right now we know that it is the last time. And we know that there are many Antichrists out there in the world. Now, let no man deceive you by any means. We talked about that. For that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first. The man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things, and now you know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. So that spirit is already at work. That spirit of iniquity, that mystery of iniquity, is already at work. Only he who now letteth will let till he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. And with all, now look at this, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie. What delusion? The Antichrist delusion. That could come in many different flavors. It's going to be a pick your poison. If it's the Buddhists, he's going to send it to them in that frame. If it's the Muslim, he's going to send the strong delusion in that frame. If it's the sex pervert, he's going to send him the delusion in that way. The Enlightenment, given over to their own delusion. Right? And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. We are coming up on a time of this delusion, I believe. I believe we're here. And right here, remember I told you about that transformation that's taking place? That there's a transformation that is coming. Right? And here is that transformation. They're continuing to evolve, so to speak, churches, where you're not even going to be able to recognize what a church is. Now, you don't have to You don't have to look to me for what a church is. You look to the, we look to the Bible, what a church is. That's what we look to, the Word of God. Right? We look to God's holy word to find out what a church is. That's what we do. Well, when the scriptures are no longer your authority, then you will believe everything and anything. When you leave Bible truth, you will believe the lie. There are a million roads to hell. There is one narrow way to heaven. Jesus Christ is that narrow way. Now, reading this article, this was on Sermon Audio, linked to this. And I'll tell you what, I thought it was worth it because it goes alongside of exactly what we're talking about here. This is the environment that's going to allow anything and everything as long as you use the same language. I liken it to Steven Anderson, who uses the word repent but doesn't follow the biblical definition of repentance. He still uses the word repent. Right? He still uses the word repent, but it's not the same. It has a different definition. Now, Seattle, it's called a bar church. And yes, you can get a beer at worship if you want. Now, let's stop there for a second. Because you've got, Joshua, what's the name of that guy that you and Jacob used to listen to that's got that... He's an apologetics guy. I think you listened to him, or Jacob did. One of you guys used to. He was with, it's the same place that James White goes to church. And they got a brewery inside of the church. And they're brewing booze. But he said, but don't get stuck there. Go beyond the surface and think about what church might be like in 20 or 30 years. Well, I want to show you something. Hebrews 13:8. Jeff Durbin, that's it. That's right. Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. Right? Yesterday, today, forever. Jesus doesn't change. Look at this. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. You see, God doesn't want you to change the church. In fact, he supernaturally has to change you so you could even become part of it in a real sense. I'm talking about the local New Testament church. The offices and the order that's in the church. I'll show you that in a little while. Think about the idea. Look, church isn't an idea. Church is doctrine. It's who the Lord died for, his church. And it's exactly, God told us exactly what he wants done. Yes, he gives us some room to do a few things that are different in each church, but he gives us what a church is in the Bible. He says, goes on to say this, think about the reality that more and more Americans, particularly young people, have no connection to the institutional church. Well, that's a lot to do with evolution that was taught in the schools and a lot of perversion in churches that was taught, so yeah. Right, I had one guy tell me, look, I don't like organized religion. I said, okay, so you like disorganized religion? You like it disorganized? Because, see, this book is a book of order. This is a book of order. That's why the Bible has the office of a bishop. It has discipline for the local New Testament church. And listen, I'll tell you what. I've had a lot of people hate my stinking guts over the years for discipline. But I'm one of those old-fashioned Baptists that believe in church discipline. And I believe it ought to be done. And I don't like it all the time. It doesn't make me feel good all the time. But I believe it's right. And I believe it's biblical. And I believe we ought to follow what God's word says. Think about the idea of third places, places where people of faith build relationships with the local community by really listening to what the people who live there want and need. Well, look, God's word tells you what you want, what you need. I don't really care what you want. I want to ask you all a question. I want to ask you all a question. Could you ever imagine a John the Baptist, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, God manifest in the flesh, the Apostle Paul, could you imagine, him looking at the people and saying, I really want to know what you want in a church. What are you looking for in a church? Like, I could see myself doing one of those cheesy videos. Maybe I'll do one sometime in my NASA Flat Earth shirt. Hi, this is Wink Winkleman. And we'd like to know, just what would you like in your church? Write us today and tell us what you'd like to have in your church. What would you like to hear more of? I don't really care what you want to hear more of, and God doesn't care either. God doesn't care what you want. You're going to die and go to hell unless you do what God wants. It's not a popularity contest. God's not trying to stay relevant for you. God'll throw you in hell, you silly, wicked sinner. What places where people of faith build relationships? You know what this is? These are a bunch of unsaved people that want all the fellowship of a church. They want all the like the get together, right, of a church. Elizabeth Ashby, I'm going to say this, and this may make everybody on here mad at me, and you all may go and go bye bye. And if you do, I'll get back on my happy horse and ride again. That's what I'll do. That's what I've always done. But God defines what a church is. There are Christians all over the world, but you are not a church. The Bible says what a church is. The Bible says that. It defines it. It has offices. It has authority. It has preaching. It has discipline. It has a time that it assembles together. It's an assembly. It's a called out assembly. It assembles. That's what it does. That's a church. That's what the Bible says. Now, I realize that some of you don't have a church out there. That's why I'm ministering to you now, because I know you don't have one, and I love you, and I care for you, and I want to feed you the Word of God because you don't have somebody to do it. But a church is a called out assembly. That doesn't mean I love you any less and I don't want to help you. That's why I'm on here. But the point is that I know what a church is from the scriptures. I know what it is. It's not some universal invisible thing. It's a visible body with offices, with authority, with discipline, with order, with ordinances. And the Holy Ghost brings them all together. That doesn't mean that there's not Christians scattered all throughout the world, because there are. The Bible says that. We're everywhere. Anyway, Jeff Ayers, I'm not making that up. The word assembly, that's exactly what the word assemble means. Assembly means is to assemble. I've already done my homework on it. You can go back and look it up, Jeff, and you can also get out of here. We'll see you around. That's exactly what that means. Oh, it doesn't say called out assembly. Who said it did? I said that's the definition of it. Ecclesia. That's what it means. It's not that hard. It's real easy. Anyway, I don't want to get off on that right now. I'm trying to... I don't have a problem. It doesn't matter, Aaron. I just got rid of them. Because people like that... Let me tell you something. There are people that want no authority over them. They want to have a form of godliness, but they want to deny the power thereof. They don't want to be answered. They don't want to answer. They don't want to focus on what the Word of God says. Right? They don't want to do that. And I'm not being mean to anybody. I'm not making fun of anybody. I'm not trying to make anybody feel bad. I'm telling you, the Word of God says very plainly what a church is. Why do you think he gave offices and ordinances to it? Right? Why do you think he gave them directions? Think about the third places, he says. Places where people of faith build relationships with local community by really listening to what the people who live there want and need. When the apostles went out, I'm just curious. Let's go to the... Let's see here. Acts chapter 2. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said to them, "What do you all want in a church? How can we make you happy? How can we make you have really good feelings today? How can we accommodate you?" That's not what he said. But Peter, standing up at the 11, lifted up his voice and said to them, "Ye men of Judea and all ye that dwell in Jerusalem, be this known unto you and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken as you suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel." He talks about, then he tells them how they slew the Lord. Right? How he would show signs and wonders. Said, "Men and brethren, let me freely speak of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried. His sepulchre is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet, knowing that God had sworn with him." So he talks about Christ. He talks about Jesus. Right? What does he tell him to do? "Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ." Now, when they heard this, they were pricked in the heart and said to them, Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Then Peter said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, for the promises unto you and to your children, to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call, with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourself from this untoward generation. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and the breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul. Now let's jump ahead to Acts chapter 7. Maybe Stephen. Maybe he asked them what they wanted. Stephen says, yea, ye took up the tabernacle Moloch and the star of your god Remphan, figures which you made to worship them, and I will carry you away beyond Babylon. And what did he say in 51? Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost as your fathers did, so do ye. Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted, and they have slain them which have showed before of the coming of the just one, of whom ye have been now the betrayers and murderers, who have received the law by the disposition of angels that have not kept it? Didn't sound like he was asking, what do you want in a church? No, the goal of the church is to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and to edify the saints. There are offices in this church. There's work to be done in this church. There is perfection to be made in that church. Look what it says here. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace, there is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called, and one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Now he's speaking to the church at Ephesus. Wherefore, he said, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men, unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first to the lowest parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints. That's what the church is for. Look what the offices are given for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto the perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speak the truth in love, may grow up in him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together, compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working and the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body and the edifying of itself in love. Look, he's talking to the church. And that local church. This is what a church is. This is what a church does. This is what God said. That's right, Eric. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of God, the pillar and the ground of the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of the truth. That's right. We're supposed to know how to conduct ourselves. And there's order, there's discipline, there is. For instance, all of you on Facebook there, I can't discipline you. I can't do anything but cut you off from here, but I can't. There's no discipline. But with the church, the local church, if we get out of line, any of the members here at Old Paths Baptist Church, we can be disciplined. We can be in trouble. We can be suspended. We can be disciplined. We can be cut off from the assembly. There's a lot of things that can happen. Censured as a pastor or as people, as members of the congregation, any of it, anybody. So you have to understand that God showed us exactly what the church is. He showed us exactly what it is. And he showed us exactly what he expects his church to do. And that's to evangelize the world for the work of the ministry. What is the work of the ministry? To go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Well, what is this commission that we are given? Matthew chapter 27, or is it 28? 28, sorry. Go ye therefore into all the world. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. It is to disciple them in the faith. It is to bring them up in God's holy word. That's what you're to do. We need to find out what's relevant. This book is always relevant. God's word is always relevant. God's word is always right. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Right? Think about the idea. So Seattle's full of young adults and located in what's considered to be one of the most secular parts of the country. It is in some ways serving as a testing ground for what religion of the future could look like. It is a fluid mix of evangelicalism and no religious affiliation. And immigrant congregations and experimentation. So you notice it's not about the Bible. Church is about the Bible. Church is about Christ and his word and building them up in their most holy faith. It's not about trying to be relevant for society, about trying to figure out a way to reach the most people by changing the methods. That's what God said, to disciple them in the faith, not to try to find something or some way to make them happy so they'll like what you're saying. Look what they're going to say. The Bar Church, low bar, high spirits, its website promises, meets twice a month in the Ballard neighborhood of Seattle, a walkable neighborhood northwest of downtown that's dotted with restaurants and coffee shops. Bar Church, which is not Presbyterian congregation, becomes a church when someone from the team opens the doors and sets a sign on the sidewalk. The rest of the time, the building is used as a private event. Now, it doesn't matter where you meet. It doesn't matter where you meet at. You can meet in a public building. You can meet in a home. As long as it's a church that is organized properly, biblically, the way God says it's supposed to be. Right? Which is not a Presbyterian congregation, she says. But what's he saying? Well, it transforms into a church. Bar Church gathers here two Sundays a month for a reflection on the topic of the day. Once a month to work on service project, such as making brown bag lunches for people who are homeless, and once for brunch. The founders of Bar Church are two couples in their early 30s, Derek Luckett and his wife, Natalie, and Nate and Amy Stone, all of whom had connections to Eastlake Community Church in Bothell, Washington, an evangelical megachurch that experienced a rift when its founder, Ryan Meeks, said the church would be open and affirming to LGBTQ people. That really isn't why he left. Anyway, the church model of sitting in rows, he said, and facing that person who talks to you and coming back the next week and doing it again doesn't resonate with a lot of people. Okay, so what is he saying here? What he's saying here is the preaching of God's word. I don't want to go somewhere where that man preaches God's word to me as an authority. If he has an idea, if he has something relevant to say to me, if he can tell me, if he can give me a positive message, if he can do any of those things, well, then I'm all in. But if some guy's just going to get up and preach to me, well, I'll tell you that. I think it's a shame if all your church is a place where the pastor preaches and then everybody leaves and nobody's around each other. We don't do that. We're here all Sunday. Sometimes later than we should be, probably. But we're here late sometimes. And we start in the morning and we stay all day Sunday. Now, people can leave if they want to. It's not like the doors are locked. They can't get out. But we eat together. We spend time together. We fellowship together. Right? We get to know each other. That's what we do. He says, Zach Brown, he says this. He says, at first I was a fan of it because they didn't talk about anything church-related, Brown said. I think that's changed in the last few months, so my attendance has been down a bit. Wow. Brown, a firefighter, spent his childhood in Chicago, then lived in Oklahoma before moving to Seattle. He grew up Lutheran, but says, when I turned 21, some life events made me question stuff. So he pulled away from church. In the West, religion is not as central to life as it is in the Midwest, Brown said. So they set up these third places. Unbelievable. So they have all these different groups, and here's some of the other ideas that they have. Aurora Commons is a project Awake Church. It considers itself a neighbor living room. A neighborhood living room. On Aurora Avenue in Seattle, a place for people to use the kitchen, have conversations, borrow books, use a computer. Awake Church started in 2008, meeting over time in the back of a coffee shop, in parks and people's living rooms, in a Chinese restaurant. We don't have a dress code, smell code, or moral code because we want to stumble into communion as our most honest selves, which is how we believe Jesus is most delighted to meet us, the church was. See what I'm saying? Jesus just wants to meet you. So what they're doing is they're saying, hey, Jesus, they're transforming what a church is. They're transforming it. They want that church. They want that church to be, well, Jesus, where he wants to meet you. So we don't have any moral codes. We don't have anything there. Where Jesus wants to meet you. The Union Church in Seattle, a new Presbyterian church congregation, started in the South Lake Union area, a neighborhood with a lot of tech firms, including Amazon, but few churches. Union Church meets for worship the first and third Sundays of the month, has small group discussions on the second Sunday, and community service on the fourth. Union also operates a cacao, whatever that is, coffee and chocolate shop event space at 415. James talks about the concept of belonging before believing. Of building relationships first. It doesn't sound like that's what was happening. That doesn't sound like that's what was happening in the book of Acts, does it? When you go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, that the gospel, Jesus said, if you lift me up, I'll draw all men unto me. Right? That's what Jesus said. So what's this? This is a club. Doesn't matter what you believe, doesn't matter what you want, doesn't matter anything else. Well, evangelism takes out the place outside of the assembly. That's where it's supposed to take place. Tracting and preaching the gospel and everything else. But this goes along with Kanye. That's right, Joshua. It goes along with Kanye. Jesus walks with the strippers and the killers. Right? This is what they're transforming, and that's Kanye's doing the same thing. He's just going to tap into that market more so. At Aurora Commons, people can cook in the kitchen. Women-only programs are offered for women who work in the sex trade. Yeah, that's who I really want around my children and my daughters. I want women that work in the sex trade around my daughters and my family. That sounds great. Does that sound like a great idea to you? Including a clinic where people could receive services ranging from contraception to wound care. Yeah, churches offering contraceptive devices. Yeah, contraception. Sure. That makes sense. Because that's what Paul did, right? The Apostle Paul. That's what they did. I mean, if you need go to church. I mean, duh, don't you go to church to get condoms? I mean, right? It's where you're supposed to go get them, right? Work in the sex trade, just show up, and we have women-only programs for you. Right? With these kind of chaplain of presence are available for conversation, support, and encouragement, or just to sit with someone. People can play the piano or write poetry or make art. Trust and relationships form. Aw, isn't that special? For that special place. Where sex traffickers, women that work in the sex trade, can hand out contraceptives and hang out with your kids and play the piano with them. And then there's other chaplains available for conversation for you. Doesn't that just sound delightful? Sounds like a whorehouse to me. That sounds like a straight up hoe house. That's what that sounds like to me. With these kind of third place incarnations, he really used that word, by the way, a key thing is space for human connection and dignity and belonging. James said there's also blurring of the lines between sacred and secular space. All right. Anyway. It's not just Seattle. In Dubuque, one of James' neighbors owns a brewery. And together they start a monthly event in the tap room called New World Brewing. With the idea that we're brewing a new world. One conversation at a time. This is not a forum or theology on tap, James said, but the idea of creating community around conversation about things like gardening or urban cycling or local elections. Well, I'll tell you what. You walk into one of those places, bring that King James Bible, preach the Word of God, and stand on it and watch how long you're welcome there. See how long you're welcome there. Bet it won't be very long. What do you think? New World Brewing been going for a few years now, typically drawing 25 to 40 people. It's a space where you can be your own authentic self. And hierarchy is left at the door. That's not church. That's not going to become church. But that is replacing the narthex that has been absent from our society for a long time. In medieval churches, narthexes were actually spaces between the world and the church where people could bear witness to what Christians believe and said. That's called going out in the world and doing business but not being of the world. I don't need some narthex place. I live a Christian life. I ought to live a Christian life every day. Anyway, that's what they believe a church is. They believe that's okay. Those things are okay. That those things are fine. That's what church is becoming now. No, that's not what God's word says a church is. A church is supposed to be about Christ. About lifting up Christ. The church is supposed to be about edifying the saints, walking in the fear of the Lord, glorifying God, following this book as our only rule of faith and practice. That's what it's supposed to be. No, Sermon Audio is not endorsing this. They're talking about it. But goats must be entertained, and the circus must go on. And that's what I'm saying about Kanye. Kanye and everything there, it's just turning the church into a circus. That's what that's all about, is transforming it, changing it. They are going to call what a local church is, they are going to call it. They're going to invent these systems that are not biblical. They're going to call it a church, but it isn't going to be the one. It isn't going to be the one that's in the Bible. It isn't going to be the church that you see, the Lord's church. That's not what it is. And it's going to be totally unrecognizable to the saints when they see that and they call these things churches. It's going to be unrecognizable to them, to saints. When saints look at this, they're going to be like, these aren't churches. So kids are going to grow up in these things. They're going to grow up in these things. And they're going to follow these pernicious ways. And Joel Osteen and the others are just laying the groundwork for the next generation. The next generation of apostates. Of those that have fallen away. And those who've never been saved. And that's what we're seeing now. And you're going to see more of it in the future. Anyway, all kinds of things to think about there. A lot of scripture given to you today. A lot to make you think about. I'm going to wait to see who's going to defend this. Right? I don't see how they could, but anyway, all right. Well, let's see who's on here as we finish up today. Of course, Carl Winters, Lisa, Michaela Coleman. Cindy, Bend, Oregon. Street preacher. Let's see. Cindy Moretti. Authorized Mike was on here. Be found in Christ. Let's see. Dean. First time I've been able to listen. Joshua. Ross Duncan. Andrea Bales. Joe McDonald. Let's see. Mm-hmm. Good. Okay. You're only there virtually, Aaron. That's right. You're only there virtually. All right. It's kind of crazy. If anybody else is listening out there, I know there are. There's 42 likes. If you could hit the like button on that, the thumbs up button, and move that up to closer to 80, that'd be good. But if not, anybody else out there that's listening, can you say hello and where you're from? That'd be awesome before we close out here. I'd like to know where everybody else is. There's like 82 people on here. There was about 100 on here before. So today, so we hit around 100. If you can say hello, that'd be good. Whoever else is on here. I know there's only about 20 people in the chat. So, yep, there's Becca. Tracy. Pink roses as opposed to red roses. Piper's Fun from Iowa. All right. Stephen L. Michaela Coleman, just missed your episode. I am from Gladstone, Australia. Gladstone, Australia, good to have you on. Katie Porter, I always forget. Well, that's okay. We see you. You're there. Hope you're doing well. Cindy T. Let's see. Come on, there's 84 on here. Somebody else, say hi. Let me see who's out there. Let me know you're out there. Let me know you're out there. Cindy Moretti, yep, I know you're out there. Probably can't type. They're probably driving. Don't get in a wreck. Gorilla Blackjack, hey, coming from Miami, Florida. All right, Miami, Florida. I got a friend that invited me to come out there and stay. He pastors a church. Or he's an assistant pastor out in Florida. He told me to bring my wife for a weekend or something like that. I should do that. Hello from Enu McClaw. Is that Washington? Oh, good, Anna. I'm glad you do. Mr. and Mrs. Swalker Designs. Hello. Anybody else on there? All right. From Trinidad and Tobago. Deborah. Mr. and Mrs. Walker's Design. Michelle Walker, Van Buren, Arkansas. All right. Great. And maybe if you tell me how long you've been listening, some of you. I'm just curious. If you're mad, send the hate mail somewhere else. E. Num Claw. All right, let's see. Well, we got those likes up to 50. Get them up to 60, 70. That'd be good. Anybody else out of those 82 that are out there listening that are mad at me right now that don't want to type? Hello, down the street from Friendswood, Texas. Down the street from NASA, not part of the cult. Oh. Yeah, I'd like to see where everybody's from. Now people are getting mad. They're jumping off. Okay, I've had it with this guy. I'm getting out of here. All right, let's see. About 6 months ago. Okay. 3 years for Carl. We met last year at Bethel in Pastor Mike's office. Did we get in trouble? What were we doing in there? What'd we do wrong? I hate it when I have to go to the pastor's office. I'll save the vacation picks for Friday. Friday will be that free-for-all, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., and we'll do a free-for-all. And I'll put it all on there and keep everything. Deborah, I did get your email, and I need to get back to you. My wife and I need to get back to you. I don't remember if you left me a number, but send me another one, okay? Send me another email about it. Hannah and I will give you a buzz sometime here, maybe tomorrow. Today's busy. I can't do it today. After I get out of here, I go run, and then I go and get ready for church. I'm preaching tonight again for probably 4 months. All right. From Virginia. Listening for a long time. Oh, good, Ann. I'm glad. I like Virginia. I've been there. I've toured Virginia. Baptist History Tour. I've been there a few times. I like it. I like Virginia. I got a bunch of pictures I will show you all. I'll get it ready Thursday so I don't forget. And we'll go from there. But I'll get it ready for sure. I'll get it ready Thursday so I have it ready for Friday. I got a ton of cool pictures to show you. Good stuff. Maybe I'll have Luke show me how to do it easy tonight. Maybe there's an easy way that I can do it. I bet you Luke can show me how to do that, put that in a folder. I can flip that folder over. I can go through those pictures and bore you all half to death with all of that. So people get mad and go, why did you do this program like this with all this stuff on here? Why do you talk all the time and didn't get right down to the topic and all that other stuff will probably happen to me. But that's okay. Steve, what's the matter with you? You only been listening 4 months. What's wrong? What's going on? I'm just kidding. Let's see. Carl, I can't believe you've been listening for like 3 years. That's crazy. Why don't I remember you 3 years ago? From Kentucky, near the Ark. Micah from Kentucky. Or is it Mika? I don't know. I don't want to say it wrong. I love the Ark. I went there. I think that Ark is awesome. I think everybody should go there. If you can afford it, I think you should go there. I really think it's a great place to go, and it's better than giving your money to somebody else. I know I don't agree with Ken Ham. He needs to use the King James Bible. That's his problem. But as far as the art goes and the lessons that are there, they're good lessons for sure. And I mean, I'm not yoked up to him. He's not connected to this church or anything. So, but I do believe that it's the Ark is really. The Ark Encounter is really interesting. Definitely. It's good for our children, you know, explaining and teaching them things. My mom and dad had a blast. They loved it. They were blessed by it. Dad, mom really wanted to go to it, and it was just easier. They're getting up there a little bit, and it's easier for them to travel with us and all that good stuff. Carl, it's because I don't remember anything. That's why. Okay, I'll try to explain to you this way. When you have trauma-based anxiety that happens, or depression and anxiety, it shrinks your brain and you lose your memory. And you can't remember certain things. That's why I don't remember it. I remember you. I just don't remember when I first talked to you or anything like that. I used to remember all kinds of things. You know? But I don't like that anymore. It's just, I wish I did, but I can't, like I used to. But anyway, that's the way it goes. Okay, well, interesting. Yeah, it is an awesome place. I'll have pictures of it too. I'll have pictures of it that you can see. So we'll have pictures of the Ark. Hey, maybe I'll just turn that whole broadcast into this, like, I'll take you all the way through everything. I'll bore you guys to death. You're going to be like, what's the matter with you? There'll be Bible in it, too. I'll be showing you all the Bible stuff with the Ark and the Creation Museum. Maybe I'll show you the whole thing. But you know, maybe I'll do that. Maybe I'll just show you and walk you through the whole thing. And just kind of interesting stuff. It'll be good. Lots of new sermons went on YouTube also. I think. Pretty sure they did. Yeah. One, two. Another Acts one will go on tonight. We're going to talk about martyrs. I'm actually in this sermon tonight. I'm going to read a portion of Martyrs Mirrors tonight. I'm going to talk about a lady that was a martyr and what she went through in my sermon when I talk about Stephen. So, no, we didn't go there because our little ones, we didn't think that would be very much fun for them at their age. They're kind of small. So we kind of bailed on that. We went to a cave instead. And I got pictures of the cave, too. I got pictures of the cave, too. So I'll show you those. Those will be good. No, I didn't get the paddle, Danny. Yeah, it's pretty big, but we couldn't really go to that. I have been to the Creation Museum. We went there too. We went to the Ark and the Creation Museum. I found your channel because someone did a nasty video about you. Oh, really? Crusader for Christ, that does not surprise me. Many people have done many nasty videos about me. Yep, I have a few enemies out there, just a couple. A couple hundred, maybe. A couple thousand, maybe. I downloaded Acts 1 and 3, listened to it today, and 4 and 5 is on your channel, but no part 2. Will you upload it? Ask Luke, Carl. Send an email to Luke and tell him, Luke, you didn't do it. What's your problem anyway? Say it like that. It's really fun. No, don't do that. Oh, you saw that video Brian Denlinger did about me? Yeah. What am I going to call this? Pastor Cooley's Big Adventure? Oh, what am I going to call my broadcast? Pastor Cooley's Big Adventure. Oh. Amen, cat in the hat. That's great, Michelle. Praise the Lord. I'm glad. And I'm sure I'd remember you if I could see your face. I'm pretty sure I do remember you. Do you have dark hair? Does it go down past your shoulders? I think I remember you. Pastor Cooley's Big Family Adventures. Well, I hate to say the thing that I've heard was that, well, I'm not going to say it about Denlinger. I'll just let it go. I don't want to say it. It's none of my business. I don't really care. I mean, I care about his soul or whatever, but I don't really care. The guy is, he's a modalist anyway. He doesn't believe in the biblical Trinity. He doesn't believe in what the Bible says about it. So, you know, I'll just let it go. And he's a hyper-dispensational Ruckmanite. That's what he is. A hyper-dispensational Ruckmanite. But that's the worst I'll say. I'll just leave it go. How many people watch videos that people hated my guts and started listening? Anyway, well, I'll let you all go. We got the likes up to 70. Appreciate everybody chiming in. Next time you're on, you other 40 or 50 that haven't said where you're from, go ahead, type it in. Tell us about it and how the Lord's used it in your life. But I'm going to get out of here. God bless you all. Have a good night. We'll talk to you on Friday.